Almost immediately after St. Constantine the Great both legalized and made the Holy Catholic faith the religion of the Roman Empire, in the early part of the 4th century, heresies began to spring forth. There already had been some heresies, but these were very, very ferocious. And among those that were very evil towards the Church and towards the true faith of the Church was the heresy of Nestorianism. Nestorianism denied the beatific vision and the union of the natures of Jesus Christ as true God and true man. And as such, they then decreed, Nestorius decreed, and he was a bishop too, that the Blessed Mother was not the Mother of God. She was the mother of the physical body of Jesus Christ. So she was the mother of the human nature, not of the whole person. And of course, one of the things that's one of the most important dogmas of the Church is that the natures of Christ, divine from eternity and human from the moment of his conception in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, are united. The hypostatic union. Hypostatic means person. Hypostasis. The divine nature and the human nature are united in the one person. So Mary indeed was the mother of God. And so the Council of Ephesus was convened in the year 431, and it condemned Nestorius and Nestorianism and proclaimed forever the dogma of the divine maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is what we celebrate today on this feast on October the 11th, the divine maternity of Mary. Mary is not just the mother of a human nature. She is the mother of the person, Jesus Christ, who descended into her womb. From eternity, the Son of the Eternal Father, and from the moment of the Annunciation and her consent to God's request, because he did not force her, she acceded to his request through the Archangel St. Gabriel. And at that very, very instant, the Holy Spirit descended upon her and overshadowed her, and the Eternal Son became the Son of Mary. And Mary became the Mother of God, because he is God indeed. And so today is a very, very important feast for our faith. And so it's been many centuries since we have been celebrating it, but especially in the 15th century, it became more preponderant because of the Protestant heresies. If you really think about it, most of the Protestants are Nestorians. They think Jesus Christ is a very wonderful and highly exalted person, and that God elevated him. He is God. God did not elevate Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. And so if they don't believe that Jesus is God, from the very first moment of his conception in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, the divine maternity, then in that sense, are they really Christians? I'm sure some people will have a lot of things to say about that, but I ultimately don't care. Because the truth is the truth is the truth. If you do not believe that Mary is the Mother of God, then you do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. And so this is a very, very important feast. And it was for this reason that His Holiness, St. John the 23rd, decided to convene the Second Ecumenical Council of the Vatican. Now, Venerable Pius XII had wanted to do this about 10 years ahead, but he decided that the Church was not ready for it. And of course, I guess he was right. So, of course, there are many who are against the council, who are against everything that came after the council. Almost everything that came after the council had nothing to do with the council. But on the other hand, it's very strange that in this day and age, whenever any reference is made, it's always made to the council. The council says this. The council is one of 21 councils. What about the others? Do they not exist any longer? Have they been erased from history and from the church? Absolutely not. And because it was very important to realize that the fathers of the Second Vatican Council decided at the beginning of the council, which started on October the 11th, as St. John the 23rd decided, that is why his feast is today, that the council was not going to proclaim any new dogmas. It would only repeat all the dogmas of the other councils of the church and of the pontiffs, the supreme pontiffs. And it's very important. So it is not more important than any other council. It is basically a pastoral council. And of course, whenever you hear the word pastoral, that's when your boots need to shake. And they've been shaking ever since. St. John the 23rd's secretary, Cardinal Capovilla, who was a very dear friend of mine, told me that St. John died of a broken heart. And he said, everything he wanted to do for the church, and you can read the opening speech of the Holy Father at the beginning of the Second Vatican Council, and you can see there what it was talking about. He said, everything the Holy Father wanted to do for the church was destroyed. And part of the proof of that is that one of the people that he named to head the council and to decide what was to be discussed at the council was none other than His Excellency Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. And of course, those from Germany and Belgium and France who decided to destroy the church, they got rid of Lefebvre and all the other traditional cardinals and bishops whom John the 23rd had named. And then they named their own liberal candidates. In a sense, they're making the church and the council into a political reality instead of a divine reality. And so what we have today is a result of that which happened. So today we pray to St. John the 23rd, who perhaps made a mistake by calling the council at that time. And of course, God permits us to make mistakes, and saints make mistakes, to do something from heaven, since he is a canonized saint. You cannot do away with that, no matter whether you like him or not. But if you really look at him, and I recommend everyone, I would not be here if it were not for St. John the 23rd. When I entered the seminary at 13, one of my godchildren gave me a copy of his diary. It's called The Journal of a Soul, Giornale dell'Anima. It's one of the most beautiful and traditional books that you can ever read. I opened it and I started reading, and I ended it in the seminary. I was already in the seminary, and I have never looked back. And so I definitely credit St. John the 23rd with my vocation to the priesthood and everything else that has happened since. And St. John the 23rd, as all the saints, was filled with a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he said the 15 mysteries of the Rosary every single day, as a nuncio, as a bishop, an archbishop, a cardinal. He was a cardinal patriarch of Venice, and then a supreme pontiff of the whole church. So we pray to him today, and we beseech the Blessed Mother, Mother of God, and Mother of the Church, to help us to make right the things that have gone awry since 1962 and 1965, and that what was intended by St. John the 23rd, a revival of the faith, a presentation to the pagan world of the true faith, of the glorious beauty of the faith. And that's why he called the council, not to change anything, especially not the Mass, which he loved, that this may come about through his intercession. And especially we commend ourselves to the Holy Mother of God, Mary Immaculate. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.